课堂听 class.com
Exercise 2-3-D Questions 1 through 5 Listen to part of a lecture in an anthropology class. The professor is discussing humor and laughter.
Being amused is a condition we're all familiar with, but what exactly is a sense of humor? Well, it's something very personal, and yet we communicate it to others by laughing. Laughter is a universal human expression. All normal human beings can laugh. Children as young as 1 month old will laugh. People often laugh together, and people laugh louder and more frequently when other people around them are also laughing. Every comedian knows this, and research has confirmed it. Physically, laughter is an involuntary tensing of the chest muscles, followed by a rapid inhalation and exhalation of breath, a mechanism that releases tension. For most people, a good laugh is welcome and worth looking for, because it brings pleasure and relief. Human adults everywhere in the world enjoy making their children laugh. Adults make playful attacks on their children, tickling, teasing, and even pretending to bite them. Adults will throw small children up in the air and catch them again. This causes the child to experience mild stress, but in a secure setting, because the stress is carefully controlled by the parent. And when the child laughs, it's a signal that he or she has successfully dealt with mild feelings of insecurity. This teaches the child about the shocks and fears that are part of human life, and which every human eventually has to deal with. This element of shock in an otherwise safe situation is a universal characteristic of situations where people laugh. Our sense of humor allows us to tell stories about situations we haven't experienced firsthand. We call these little stories jokes. We tell jokes to show our frustration with the society we live in, especially its rules. Social rules and conventions provide us with a range of situations that we can turn into humor. And the things we joke about, the conventions and rules we live by, are sort of tense areas in our society. They're areas where we can see the need for change. Humor gives us the power to think about changing the rules. Making jokes and laughing are safe ways to change our social rules and conventions. Therefore, comedians, whether they know it or not, are agents of social change. The ability to laugh is a vital part of being human. People who laugh together or laugh at each other's jokes feel close to each other. Laughter creates a sense of connection. Humor can also help us deal with anxieties that we can't escape. Failure, fear, pain, and death, they're all real to us, as they are to no other animal on earth. And without a sense of humor, it would be difficult for us to live with everything that we know about the world.
Number one. According to the professor, why do most people welcome laughter? Number two. Why does the professor say this?
Adults make playful attacks on their children, tickling, teasing, and even pretending to bite them. Adults will throw small children up in the air and catch them again.
Number three. Which of the following is a universal characteristic of situations where people laugh? Number four. Why does the professor talk about social rules and conventions? Number five. Listen again to part of the lecture, then answer the question.
The ability to laugh is a vital part of being human. People who laugh together or laugh at each other's jokes feel close to each other. Laughter creates a sense of connection. Humor can also help us deal with anxieties that we can't escape. Failure, fear, pain and death, they're all real to us, as they are to no other animal on Earth. And without a sense of humor, it would be difficult for us to live with everything that we know about the world.
Why does the professor say this?
And without a sense of humor, it would be difficult for us to live with everything that we know about the world.
Questions 6 through 10. Listen to part of a lecture in a horticulture class. The professor is talking about roadside beautification.
There's always been tension throughout our history, a kind of tension between private development and government regulation, especially when it comes to development of land for agriculture. Catherine Parr Traill, a botanist who lived in the 19th century, she predicted that the natural beauty of Canada's wilderness would disappear because of agricultural development. She wrote in 1868 that the wilderness was, quote, destined to be swept away as the onward march of civilization clears away the primeval forest and turns the waste places into fruitful field, unquote. But fortunately for us, Catherine Parr Traill's prediction turned out to be not entirely true. The Quinte Wildflower Project proves that people can come together to preserve the beauty of the wilderness. This project continues a trend to beautify North American highways that goes all the way back to the 1960s and the beginning of the Adopt-a-Highway programs, the programs that use volunteers to clean up the litter along roadsides. Since the 60s, beautification programs have been broadened to include the planting of native flowers and shrubs. In Canada, a lot of time and money were being spent mowing the grass on roadsides. Weeds and wildflowers alike all were sprayed with herbicides to kill them off. Eventually, the high cost forced the government to stop spraying and mowing. Since the 1980s, Ontario has turned to volunteers and private sponsors for roadside beautification. The Quinte Wildflower Project is the largest roadside planting of wildflowers in Ontario. The project was born in 1996 with the help of private sponsors and government horticulturists. Areas along an 18-kilometer stretch of Highway 401 from Trenton to Belleville were, most of the sites were planted with one of two native wildflower seed mixtures. Both seed mixtures produce flowers that require little maintenance and are hardy enough to survive roadside conditions. Each seed mixture contains several different species, so wildflowers bloom, so there's a steady show of colors from June to October. The Quinte Wildflower Project has been a huge success. Its greatest success has been in attracting both public interest and private sponsors. It demonstrates that government and citizens can work together, that partnerships between the public and private sectors can and do work.
Number 6. How does the instructor develop the topic of roadside beautification? Number 7. Why does the professor quote botanist Catherine Parr Traill? Number 8. Why does the professor mention the Adopt-a-Highway programs that began in the 1960s? Number 9. Why does the professor say this?
Each seed mixture contains several different species, so wildflowers bloom, so there's a steady show of colors from June to October.
Number 10. What does the professor think of partnerships between government and private citizens?